Acatra Foundation presents The Acatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Acatra AI. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really monumental work, Stephen Ambrose's Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's easy to just label this military history, but we want to go deeper.
Right.
Beyond the battles, you know, uncover the human stuff, the courage, the leadership, and especially that incredible brotherhood.
Yeah.
That bond that let ordinary guys do, well, extraordinary things under pressure. You and I probably can't even imagine.
Absolutely.
And for you listening, these aren't just old war stories. There are timeless lessons here about building teams, about leadership, about, frankly, how powerful human connection is when you're facing any challenge.
And Stephen Ambrose's approach is key to why this story hits so hard. He wasn't just any historian.
No.
He was known for making history feel, well, human, accessible. He did big biographies, Eisenhower, Nixon, serious work.
Right, deep dives into major figures.
Exactly. But with Band of Brothers, his method was different. It was almost entirely built on hours and hours of really personal interviews with the surviving Easy Company vets.
Wow.
Plus their letters, their diaries. So it's not just facts and dates. It's raw, emotional.
You feel like you're there.
You really do. And it let him answer that core question. What makes a group of individuals become this, you know, elite, tight-knit unit?
And the answer was?
For Ambrose, it was clear. It was the love, the accountability they had for each other. They fought for the guy in the foxhole next to them.
That personal commitment.
Yeah.
It really is the heart of it. So let's trace that journey. I mean, these guys weren't born heroes.
Not at all. They came from everywhere. Farmers, factory workers, college kids, all over America.
It's just regular guys.
Pretty much. But what brought them together first was volunteering for paratrooper duty. That was a dangerous choice.
Yeah, that alone tells you something. What kind of person makes that choice, even before the training?
Well, it suggests someone looking for a challenge, right? Maybe a bit of inherent bravery or, you know, something to prove. They weren't drafted into this specific role.
They picked the hard road.
They absolutely did. And that self-selection was step one. Then came Cap Toco, Georgia, 1942. Grueling training.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, just brutal.
The famous Currahee Mountain Run.
Exactly. Gave them their motto. Currahee means we stand alone.
And then there's Captain Herbert Sobel. He looms large in that early part.
Yeah.
Critical, but controversial.
Oh, definitely. Sobel was a master of discipline, made them tough, drilled them relentlessly. In that sense, a great trainer.
Okay.
But he was harsh, ambitious in a bad way, poor judgment in the field, kind of vindictive. The men, well, they despised him.
So how does that build unity?
Yeah.
Seems counterintuitive.
It's a paradox, isn't it? His methods, even though they hated him for them, kind of forced them together. Their shared misery, their opposition to him, that forged their bond.
Huh. Against a common obstacle, almost.
Exactly. And it all came to a head, a real turning point. The NCOs, the sergeants, basically told the command they wouldn't serve under Sobel in combat.
Whoa. That's risky. A mutiny?
Not quite a mutiny in the formal sense, but yeah, incredibly daring. A collective, we don't trust this guy to lead us when bullets fly.
And what happened? How did that change things?
It was huge. It cemented their loyalty to each other above everything else. Survival first. It led directly to Sobel getting transferred out.
Paved the way for someone else.
Right. It opened the door for Lieutenant Dick Winters. But more than that, it was Easy Company saying, we look out for each other. Trust shifted inward.
Okay, so they're forged to Toco. They've dealt with Sobel. They have this intense internal bond. But training isn't combat. D-Day, June 6, 1944. How did that foundation hold up? Sounds like pure chaos.
Pure chaos is putting it mildly. The jump was scattered all over Normandy. They lost their commander almost immediately.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah. And in that mess, First Lieutenant Dick Winters just stepped up. Quiet competence, tactical smarts, right when it mattered most.
And Braecourt Manor. That name comes up again and again. What was it about that specific action?
Braecourt Manor was critical, another turning point, happening right there on D-Day. Winters, with just a handful of guys, takes out this German artillery battery firing on Utah Beach.
A coup objective.
Huge. It was a textbook assault, literally. They teach it at West Point now.
Wow.
But for the men on the ground, it wasn't just tactics. It was Winters being calm, decisive, leading from the front. That cemented it.
Trust.
Absolute trust. Overnight. It proved their training worked, and it proved they had a leader they could follow into hell. Ambrose really shows how leadership is earned right there in the fire.
And the fighting in Normandy didn't stop there. Carentan was brutal too, right?
Oh, yeah. heavy, heavy casualties at Carentan. But they took their objectives. They were bloodied, tested, but the training held. And their faith in Winters, unshakable after that.
So even the losses kind of solidified things.
In a way, yes. It proved they could endure, proved their leadership was sound, turned theory into hard-won reality.
Then, after Normandy, they get thrown into Operation Market Garden, Holland. Another massive operation, but different.
Very different. Hugely ambitious Allied plan to end the war quickly. It failed.
Right.
They went from being hailed as liberators to this vicious, grinding fight on what they called the island. Just awful conditions.
And Winters again.
Winters again. Pulled off another brilliant tactical move, a night raid across a river, taking on an SS company. These were tough, fanatical opponents.
Just the cost.
The psychological toll was mounting. Constant fighting, losing friends, realizing the war wasn't ending anytime soon. You see the weariness, the fatalism creeping in.
Which brings us to Bastogne. Battle of the Bulge, if any moment defines them.
This is it. Bastogne is the crucible. The third huge turning point. Rushed to the front, freezing cold, snow everywhere, surrounded by Germans.
Not enough supplies, ammo.
Nothing. No. Constant shelling in the Bois Jacques forest. Just pure hell. But the heroism. Medics like Doc Rowe working miracles. McCullough's famous nuts replied to the surrender demand. Totally. Survival there was purely about relying on each other. That shared misery, that absolute dependence,
yeah.
It forged them into something unbreakable.
Their legend was cemented there.
No question. But the scars, physical and mental, were incredibly deep, even after the siege was lifted.
And the war still wasn't over. They pushed into Germany, Austria. The fighting changed, but the horror didn't stop.
Far from it. As the German army collapsed, they stumbled onto something truly sickening, a Nazi concentration camp near Landsberg.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Seeing that, it changed everything for them. It wasn't abstract anymore. They saw pure evil firsthand. It put the whole war, their sacrifices, into a horrifying new perspective.
Gave them a grim clarity, I imagine.
Immense clarity, but also immense weight. The war ended for them capturing Hitler's eagle's nest. Kind of anticlimactic, looting souvenirs, this feeling of, now what?
So after all that, how did Ambrose sum up their core philosophy? What drove them through all this?
Ambrose kept coming back to brotherhood. That was the prime motivator. Not necessarily grand ideals, but the guy next to you.
Fighting for each other.
Exactly. Mutual accountability, love, loyalty, that was their strength, and leadership. The contrast between Sobel and Winters is stark.
Right. Fear versus respect.
Pretty much. Sobel. Authoritarian, fear-based. Winters. Led by example, competence, genuinely cared for his men, servant leadership. That inspired respect, not fear. It's a powerful lesson.
And the book doesn't glorify war at all, does it?
Not one bit. It's brutal. Chaos, terror, misery, trauma, war as this grim business of just trying to survive.
But it also shows ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
That's the other side of it. These were regular Joes, farmers, workers, students put in impossible situations. Bound together, they found courage they probably didn't know they had.
But Ambrose shows the cost too, the psychological damage.
Absolutely. He doesn't shy away from it. Alcoholism, like with Lewis Nixon, nightmares, numbness. The concentration camp discovery left wounds that never fully healed for many.
So after the war, what happened? How did they adjust? And what does that teach us?
The transition back was hard for many. Different careers, struggles with what we now call PTSD. It wasn't easy shedding those experiences.
But the bond remained.
Crucially, yes. They had reunions for decades. Stayed close, supported each other. For many, those friendships were the most important thing they carried out of the war.
That brotherhood lasted a lifetime.
It really did. It sustained them long after the guns fell silent.
Okay, so bringing it back to today, for you listening, what are the big takeaways from Easy Company's story for our lives, our work, our challenges right now?
Well, first, leadership. That Sobel Winters contrast is gold. Winters style competence, care, leading by example, making principled calls that builds loyalty and high performance anywhere. Respect, not fear, that applies to any team, any organization.
Makes sense. And team building.
Easy Company's success was trust and shared purpose. You can translate that. Elite teams often come from shared hardship, maybe a tough project, relying on each other, having that unified identity, you know, metaphorically fighting for the person next to you.
Having each other's backs.
Exactly. And resilience. Bastogne is the ultimate example. It shows resilience is often collective. When things get incredibly tough, leaning on your network, friends, family, colleagues, sharing that burden, holding on to purpose together, that's how you get through crises.
Don't go it alone.
Right. And finally, perspective. Gratitude, understanding the sacrifices they made. It really puts our own challenges in perspective, doesn't it? Fosters gratitude for what we have.
Yeah, definitely gives you a more grounded view.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this up. If we had to boil down this deep dive into Band of Brothers, what are the absolute core insights for you?
Okay, three things. First, an emotional insight. The strongest force, especially under pressure, is that bond. Trust, love, accountability between people. Ordinary folks achieve the extraordinary when they're truly committed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Second, an intellectual insight. Real leadership isn't just about rank. It's service, competence, courage, putting the team first. The health of any group hinges on relationships and shared commitment.
Got it.
And third, a universal insight. The values Easy Company lived, courage, loyalty, sacrifice, commitment to something bigger than yourself, those are timeless. They always apply. Investing in your team, that supportive culture, that always pays off more than just focusing on individual stars.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So it makes you think, what kind of band of brothers or sisters are you building in your own life?
Mm.
Who are the people you fight for, metaphorically?
Mm.
And who fights for you when things get tough?
Yeah, the story really reminds us that our greatest strength is often just caring for each other, especially when times are dark. That's a powerful thought to carry with you.
Indeed it is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Join us next time for another deep dive into fascinating sources, uncovering more surprising facts and insights just for you.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.